Well, I got thinking these last couple weeks about a story I hadn't thought about in a while. I couldn't have been more than, I don't know, early middle school when my folks sat me down with my sister to talk about something that had happened at church. Our accompanist at church, his name was Ken. He'd let the church leadership know that he was going to be appearing in an ad campaign. And so we called the leadership together to talk with them about it and let them know. And then they talked about it to the congregation. These ads were going to appear on billboards and on the side of buses and in newspapers, which normally is a pretty cool thing. And it was. But the reason Ken chose to let our church leadership know ahead of time, because the ads were for National Coming Out Day. Ken was coming out not just to our church leadership and our congregation, but to the entire city. This was in the early 90s in Nashville, Tennessee. This was not something to be taken lightly. I don't remember the entire conversation I had with my parents, but I remember that they emphasized that Ken was exactly who he'd always been. I remember them reminding us we were lucky to have him at our church. And I also remember them telling us that if we heard anyone talking about him, we should let them know. Now, not everyone had conversations like that in their homes. And I can never be grateful enough that I came from a home where such conversations did happen. Ken ended up leaving our church. He wasn't forced to, but I think he decided it would be easier. Because there were a lot of people who were not happy, comfortable, or hospitable with his decision to come out. I've been thinking a lot about that story recently. The courage, strength, and determination it must have taken for Ken to not only come out, but to do so in such a public way that invited others to be encouraged to be who they are. His actions weren't some that were just about himself, but were about offering hope to others. And the older I have gotten, and the more I've learned, the more I am amazed at what it took for Ken to be so bold and to be so honest. Well, amazed at what it took for Ken to be himself in front of a community. This story recounts for you my first conscious experience of heterosexism. Meaning this was the first time I had ever witnessed discrimination based on someone's sexual identity. And of all the places to experience a new kind of discrimination for the first time, it happened at church. Now, I'm not singling out and picking on that congregation. Hillcrest United Methodist Church is made up of wonderful people. They helped shape and form me. They taught me God's love, and they taught me to love other people. I even worshiped with them less than a year ago. You see, what happened in that moment wasn't about a single congregation or a single committee or a single person. What happened was about a system, an institution, and a society that were and are broken. You see, when I speak of church, I'm speaking of the church as a whole, not just my church as a congregation. You see, the same church that taught me the welcoming love of Jesus made someone feel like they needed to leave. This was and is very hard for me to understand, because that same church was the place that I found refuge in from a world that belittled and judged and bullied me. So how could those same things happen to a person inside a place that was supposed to be the safe place away from the rest of that? You see, even though I couldn't quite name it then, I can name it now. This is one of the first times in my memory I was ever ashamed of church. I tell you this story to help you understand where I'm coming from when I invite us to celebrate Pride Month as an annual event here in our congregation. You see, pride is a very loaded word in the church world. There are all sorts of Bible verses warning against pride. I mean, don't forget, pride cometh before the fall and all. Pride is evil. Pride is wicked. It's even one of the seven deadly sins. Okay, those aren't actually listed in the Bible, but they help emphasize the point. So why would we hang a banner on the side of our building this afternoon that proclaims us to be proud? Because I think we are proud, but in a way that our scriptures encourage. You see, the kind of pride that is so adamantly warned against in our scriptures is a pride that is self-righteous and ego-driven. It's pride that places one above other people. The bad pride, right? If there's good pride and bad pride, the bad pride is the opposite of humility. The pride that we are celebrating isn't the opposite of humility, but instead I'm inviting us to recognize good pride is the opposite of shame. Because though I felt ashamed of church in that moment, and I've felt that way at different times since, that's not how I normally feel about church. I regularly feel something very different, something quite opposite from shame. Especially when I see service to others and outreach and honest questions and learning and people caring for one another. I feel something quite the opposite of shame. I feel, what's the word? Proud. Good pride is a celebration, an honoring, a respect. Now, throughout Pride Month, we will reflect together on the hope and the challenges that exist in our world, in our denomination as Methodists, in our congregation as the people of Highlands, and even the hope and challenges that exist in our own lives. And though a major theme of Pride Month is inclusion of persons of sexual minority, meaning people who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, that's not the only focus of this conversation. Your bulletin is graced with the same words that appear on the banner that goes up on our building today. We are proud that God loves all people. Every age, every race, every gender, every sexual identity, every class, every status, every ability, every country of origin. To be honest, if I had a bigger banner, there would be more stuff on there. Because it's only the start of the list. All means all. We shouldn't have to make a laundry list, but sometimes it's helpful. There are so many ways and reasons people of faith have drawn lines, isolated and excluded people throughout our history as God's people. You know, another specific one that comes to my mind that of ways we exclude people is excluding people who disagree with us. I also want to be sure to name very clearly that God loves all people, including people with differing opinions on issues such as inclusivity. This is important. There are very diverse opinions in this world. There are very diverse opinions in this room. And that's a blessing. And while there may be disagreements amongst the varied opinions, what I pray regularly is that we can all share a trust that God's will is and will be made known through honest conversations, which at times are difficult, but conversations that occur when we lovingly gather together to say, where are we? Who are we? And what do we believe? That's something I'm very proud of when I watch it take place. Now, in the last 6 weeks, this congregation has been very active in proclaiming God's love for all people as it relates to marriage equality. Through our different advertising efforts in Westward, Outfront Colorado, the Street Fair Gazette, paired with some social media savvy, our ads proclaiming God's love for all people have been seen over 300,000 times. We just passed 250,000 people. That is something I'm proud of. And I mean that in the good pride kind of way. I see God working through this congregation and those congregations we partner with. I see God working through these efforts to share a message of love and grace, of justice and equality. Please hear my gratitude and pride that God is loving all people through the work of this congregation. But hear also the invitation to fulfill the entirety of the prophet Micah's divine requirements. See, the prophet Micah is speaking to God's people, and they say, well, what on earth does God want? And Micah responds to them. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. As we seek to be a channel for God's justice and love for all people, we must do so humbly. I deeply desire us to be the opposite of ashamed, to be proud. But I am cautious that we not be the opposite of humble. If we place ourselves above anyone else, if we proclaim some sort of moral high ground that makes us better than other people, we will alienate and distance ourselves not only from those we seek to be in relationship with, but we'll be distancing ourselves from God's will. So it's my sincere prayer that we might embody a good and healthy pride for all that God is doing while holding on to humility, seeking relationship. That humility comes from acknowledging that what we're celebrating and honoring, what we're proud of, is not ourselves. Each and every week of Pride Month, we open our worship service with a ritual of welcome. It's what Dot read for us today. And in that ritual, we hear the words of Ephesians, an actual scripture out of the New Testament that says this. It's not something you did that you get to be proud of. Instead, it is all God's accomplishment. For you have been created in Christ Jesus to do good things. God planned for these good things to be the way that we might live our lives. What I am proud of and what I am never ashamed of is what God is doing in the world. When the hungry are fed, I'm proud. When those crying out for justice are joined by those with privilege, I'm proud. When good questions are asked and the Bible is taken seriously and wrestled with, I am proud. When the sick are visited, the lonely are comforted, the broken reassured, I am proud. When we share communion together, I'm proud. When we celebrate baptism together, I am proud. Because all of these things are examples of the way that God is accomplishing things in this world. Things that invite all people to know love, to know grace, and to be welcomed into a connection and a community that's doing their best to follow God's will. Because God is doing things in this world. Great things that, as our scripture encourages, should be the way that we live our lives. Because what God does, what God has always done, and what God always will do, first and last, is love all people. It is God's story to love all people. It's our story. It is the foundation of our human relationship with the divine that God loves us. God's love reaches out to meet us where we are. God's love frees us from our mistakes and failures. God's love encourages and enables us to live better lives. And that is to be the way we live our lives as well. Reaching out and welcoming, sharing and caring for one another's burdens, encouraging and supporting each other as we grow into life abundant, and doing so for all people, because that is something to be proud of. Amen.